Acts 2 verse 21, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it."
Bookstall, any good bookshop in Ballymena or Belfast or any of the towns, you'll notice a lot of books that are now called made easy books. You'll see gardening made easy, or cooking made easy, or slimming, made easy. So the tale is anyway. And they've got books now, and everything's easy. That's, of course, that you'll rush in and get it and say, "Well, if it's easy, sure, I'm the boy to get it." Well, I want to talk to you tonight about salvation made easy. Because God has made salvation so wonderfully simple that the wayfaring man or woman, no fool, couldn't dare therein. Let me read you this verse again in Acts 2:21. "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Friends, what could be more simple than that? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm so glad tonight that God has made his salvation so wonderfully simple that the least educated among us could grasp it. And I want to speak first of all about the availability of this salvation. Notice what it says. Whosoever shall call. Whosoever shall call. That's the availability of the salvation. Whosoever. Whosoever. There are a lot of people in the day in which we live, and they read a lot of books. And sometimes unsaved people read books, even religious books, even books about doctrine. And to be quite honest with you, there's not much use to them because they find more problems than anything else. A man said to me once, he says, "You know, I'm enjoying your meetings very well, and, you know, I'm thinking sometimes about being a Christian, but, you know, I would really need to be called. You see, I would need to be one of the called ones before I was saved. Something would need to happen to me before I would be saved." And I said, "Sir, I want to tell you something from God's word. God, at this moment, is commanding all men everywhere to repent." Now that's God's command for all men and all women everywhere to repent. Now friends, if you're here in the meeting today and you're not saved, that is a message for you, that God is calling all men everywhere to repent. "And that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And that's all you need to concern yourself with today. That you, as a poor lost sinner, can be wonderfully and gloriously saved. Don't get involved in things that don't concern you. Just get to the bit in the Bible that concerns you. That if you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be gloriously and wonderfully saved. Now friends, there are three reasons why people don't call on the name of the Lord. And the first and the foremost is this. They relish their sin. Now they'll argue about it. They say, now, I'm not so bad, and I'm not such a bad person, and I haven't got so many things that I can give, I haven't have to give up, and they'll argue. But friends, in the final analysis, when you examine it, the reason why people don't call on the name of the Lord is, first and foremost, because they relish their sin. Now, why do they relish their sin? Well, the Bible says, because of pleasure. The pleasure of sin. that lasts for a season. When the man goes out for a pint, he's calling it pleasure. He served them. I drank them. We know all about it. There's pleasure in it. But it only lasts for a season. And it doesn't really satisfy you totally, but it gives you a certain amount of pleasure. And you see the devil comes along and he says, well, if you're going to call upon the name of the Lord, well, all that pleasure's going to go. And you'll have a number ticker shroud on you and a face as long as a lurgan's paint. And you'll be going about singing, art thou weary, art thou languid, art thou sore distressed. Well, that's what the devil told me anyway. And it's one of the biggest lies ever come out of hell. You know, when Jonathan was about, I think about 2.5, I took him over for an Easter egg. You would know to look at me, that's my trouble. There's too many Easter eggs. But had Jonathan in my arm and we went over, and he said, I'll pay them on. I want to pay them on, see? So I gave him a 50 pence and held him over, and he put the 50 pence down on the counter, and the man gave him the wee chocolate egg and the change back, and that was great. Now that night, I thought I would try something with Jonathan. He was on my knee, and I says, now, I'm going to try a wee experiment here. And I got a £10 note. I borrowed it from his mother. I have no £10 notes, but I got a £10 note, and I held it up in one hand, and then I held the 50p up on the other. And I says, Jonathan, which of those two do you want? And he grabbed both of them. He's just like his mother. And I said, you can't have the both of them. Now you have to take one or the other. What's he going to take? And I could see his wee eyes going around in his head. And he's looking at this bit of paper. Mummy likes the fire with bits of paper. And then he's looking at this silver thing. I got a chocolate egg with one of those. And he grabbed the 50p. Now what was he doing? Well, he was following the knowledge that he had. Friends, look, whatever your sin is, whether it's a drink, or a dog, maybe a greyhound to me, or a drug, or a disco, whatever it is, the devil holds these things up to you and he says, Eric, look what you're going to lose. But all the time, God says, look what you're going to give. I'm going to give you something more valuable, more precious, that will bring you more pleasure. Now, what knowledge have you got? What knowledge have you got? Are you holding on to that miserable sin, saying, oh, God wants to take this from me to make me miserable? Friends, tonight, God wants to make you a millionaire. God wants to make you rich in all His grace and mercy. God wants to do for you something that you've never dreamt about. Give you His wondrous grace and power. Now, when people relish their sin, the second thing that happens is this. They resist the Spirit. They resist the Spirit. People who resist the Spirit talk like this. Yes, I know all about the meetings. Yes, I've heard the preach. Boy, it was a great meeting. That was something I wasn't expecting. Yes, I'm thinking very much about it. And some of them, if you followed their history, you would find that for years they've been thinking very much about it. And some of them then would talk to you about reading about it. Oh, I was reading a booklet the other night. And talk about it. Boys, they would talk to you about it till the cows come home. What are they doing? Procrastinating. It is a thief of time. They want to talk about it. They want to read about it. They want to think about it. But they don't want to do it. They resist the Holy Ghost. Every time God comes upon them and knocks at their heart and begins the movement, they put up the barriers. They begin to get their shoulders out and they fight. And they resist the Holy Ghost. Friends, I've saw it in meetings. I have saw men and women standing, singing the closing hymn, and everyone able to open the book and they're spreading the book in the nuts. And you can see in their face that God is really dealing with them. You can see at the door the tears are in their eyes. God has moved upon them and moved in on their life. What are they doing? Resisting the Holy Ghost. And my dear friend, if you relish your sin and resist the Spirit, the third step is to reject the Savior. And that's the way it works. Not on the footsteps of following. to relish your sin, to resist the Spirit, and then to reject the Saviour. I wonder tonight, dear friends, tonight, could we be honest? Let's just be honest with each other. I knew what was keeping me from Christ. I wonder, could you admit today what's keeping Christ from you today? What is it? Look into your heart just now and ask yourself, what is it that I love more than the Lord Jesus? What is it that I hold dear more than Him? What is it? Find it tonight. Look into your heart. Old Nicholson, a man of a bygone day, I never heard him really myself, but heard so much about him. And in one of the meetings in Belfast, leaning over the pulpit one night, looked down at the floor as if he was looking into hell itself. And then he called out, Judas, Judas, what did you get for selling the Lord Jesus? 30 pieces of silver? Let me shake your hand. There are people in this meeting selling them for 10 figs. What are you selling them for tonight? What's your silver? What is it that you hold dear? What is it that's keeping you from God? Friends, look, the devil will give you whatever you want to damn your soul. Some men, the only thing that'll damn them is a painting on a Saturday night. They won't give it up. Some other people that get from 10 in little woods. Friends, tonight, what is it? What is it? Remember a wee woman not so long ago in the Shankill Mission, and she came to see me afterwards. She says, do you know what was keeping me from God all these years, Ivan? I'm now 62 years of age, and for years now, do you know what has been keeping me from God? A game of bingo on my pals. Well, praise God, you got a belief that outweighed the bingo every time. Then tonight, Luke, ask yourself tonight, what is it? What's my idol? What's my idol that God may come into your life and tear it down? Oh, it might be the business. It might be the ambition of getting on, and God doesn't fit in with the plans too well. You wouldn't want to go in among your associates. You wouldn't want to seem a prude, seem narrow. Is that it? Oh, friends, look. You can gain the world. And if you have not Jesus, you've wasted your time. The availability of the salvation, whosoever. But I want you to see the responsibility of the sinner. It says, whosoever shall call. There's your responsibility. There's mine before with him. Shall call upon the name of the Lord. You've got to call. Now, we're not talking now about your need. We're talking about something that you want. You see, there's a great deception going about in these days we're living in. And it's an easy believism. The country's cursed with it, to tell you the truth. And some preachers will tell you, all you've got to do to be saved is to put up your hand or do something and you'll be saved. And it doesn't really matter as long as you know what you need. My dear friends, nothing could be further from the truth. I was waiting behind in a meeting after preaching the gospel one night when a woman brought this man in to see me. Now the man was a bit the worse for a drink, but not too bad, and was able to talk to me all right. Well, at least he did eventually. But when he came into the room with the woman sat him down in the chair and she says, this is Billy here, and Billy's an alcoholic even. He's an alcoholic. And his wife has left him, and the children are in care, and oh, the catalogue of catastrophe was a scourge. And I never looked up at all. I was reading my Bible, looking for a word for somebody. And then I said, I'm sorry, he's a dummy too. He says, I'm no dummy. Oh, I says, I thought you were. Say, the woman was doing all the talking. And I just leaned over, I looked into his eyes, I says, tell me, Billy, what do you want? What do you want? And the woman that brought him in said, sure, I'm telling you his condition is stiff, he's an alcoholic. And she went on, she says, you know his need, sure, we're telling you his need. And just at that particular time, I had two bad teeth. Yeah. Thank God I haven't had any more since, but I had two bad teeth, and they were going like that, boy. Yeah. Ooh, the pace. And of course, I'm a terrible card. I mean, I don't like the dentist. I don't know about you, but I did. There was a boy on the Crumlin Road, and he pulled ahead of me, and I never got over it. And there I'm sitting, and I know that these two teeth really need pulled out. And she says to me again about his knees. I says, "Love, will you tell you, I have two teeth in there, and the knee pulled out, but I don't want them pulled out, and I don't want to go." Now he needs saved. So does everybody in the streets. So does everybody in Palomino. Do they want it? Oh, we ain't asked them. Not a bit of them. Not a bit of them. And there's all the difference between your need and what you want. And there, friend, is your responsibility. That you, as a poor lost sinner, will sit down with God. And when God's talking to you, you'll make a careful consideration in your mind. And that careful consideration will lead to a correct calculation that you're perishing. And that correct calculation will lead to a complete consecration. And when you get those three things, you'll get saved. And you'll get saved for time and for eternity. Have you ever made that correct calculation? Have you ever had that careful consideration that all wasn't well? Have you ever made that complete consecration and got gloriously saved? Because friends, you have a responsibility. Whosoever shall call, shall call. That's you. Shall call. That's your responsibility. At 9 o'clock, by that clock, or shortly afterwards, you go out that door, and your fate will be in your hands. You'll decide, though. You'll decide what you're going to do. Nobody here will force you to do anything. God forbid. You'll decide. And at the end of your days, don't worry about a verse in the paper. We'll get you one in, all right. We'll get somebody to give you a Christian burial, sir. Don't worry about that. I'll be looked after. Somebody tell us good things about you. But when you get lured into Mother Earth, if you're without Christ, you'll have perished. More lies told at Frindles than anywhere else. And God doesn't read the wee verses in the paper nor the headstones either. God's interested what you did with His Son right now. Your responsibility. You'll decide. You can see the availability of the salvation, whosoever. And you can see the responsibility of the sinner. Shall call. But I want you to get this. This is lovely. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's the dependability of the Saviour. Shall be. Get that into your head. Shall be. Not maybe. Not hope to be. Shall be. Do you believe that, don't you? Do you believe that? Jesus, people could stand up all around you and say, I've proved that. I've proved that. You know a fella not long ago who I was in prison with. I have a record too, by the way. But you couldn't buy it for £5 odds. You wouldn't want it either. But this fella was in the same cell as me. And he came down the street one day and he's paralytic drunk. And he starts to talk. He says, are you still preaching around these places? And he says, I'm not sure about... I says, George, you shut up! Because you don't know! Friends, look! Once you've proved it, the arguments are over, aren't they? Glory to God, I've delivered. He's standing there drunk telling me. He says, I'm not interested what you think. I have proved it. I got Christ 15 years ago nearly, and I haven't been drunk since. That's proof. That'll do me. The arguments are over. And you'll have to be bold. You know, the Bible says that the righteous are sometimes as bold as a lamb. But we'll have to be bold. Maybe it'll mean walking into your house today, though, and saying, yeah, well, I've got saved, what about it? My wee wife was bold.
Praise God for. That's why I'm saved tonight. Because she says I'm sticking with Christ no matter what you do. No sissies game. Have a go at it, you see. The dependability of the Saviour is it shall be saved.
Now, why can we depend on it? Now, let me finish quickly. Why? We can depend on it because of Calvary's colossal cost. That's why. You see, at the place called Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ made a sacrifice for sin forever. You see, you'll find if you read the book of Hebrews that the priests do daily. Ah, but there's all the difference between someone standing daily and someone sitting down. All the difference in the world. And when the Lord Jesus Christ had purchased that colossal price at Calvary,
He sat down.
You see, this sacrifice, when the Lord Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross, when the thorns were pushed into His holy brow, when His back was open like a field, when the spittle and sweat ran down His face, when every bone in His body was out of joint, when God took the sword of His justice and pierced the heart of His Son, that sacrifice satisfied God. Met the requirements of a holy God. Oh, but it didn't only satisfy God, it silenced Satan. The devil can't accuse me. He may accuse the Brethren, but he not accuse the Baptist, praise the Lord. Not at all. Friends, he tries it. When he tries it, he comes round. I don't know what kind of a day you've had, but mine's been mustard. You ever get one of them days, you know, when nothing goes right for you? But praise the Lord for them, because the Lord's working with you. You don't want everything smooth all the time, because it's a bad job. You're supposed to praise Him in all things, give Him thanks, all things. And the old devil comes round. I remember, I'll never forget this. I'll tell you when it happened. It was the 11th night. Imagine the 11th night. About 5 years ago. And I was laying in bed, imagine the 11th night. Any other time I'd have been drunk as a skunk, but there I was laying in bed, trying to get asleep and hearing all the drunks outside. And I was looking up at the ceiling, it was about, maybe 1 o'clock in the morning. And you know, it was as if the devil came in beside me. He says, here, what about all those terrible things you've done? What about all those miserable? And you know, my mind began to get clogged up with the past. All the crooked deeds, all the filthy talk, my mind began to get saturated with them. And I just reached out from a wee Bible by my bedside, and I held it tight, and it says, I know what to do. Bring me all my sins now. Bring me all my sins. And I'd build a bonfire again. I'd just build a bonfire with them. This is the 11th night, but I'd build a bonfire with my sins. And as all those sins come into my mind, I began to build a bonfire, one on top of the other. And when there was no more to accuse me of, I just held the Bible tight and prayed, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, answered me. Praise the Lord, I went up in smoke. He hasn't come back for a queer while, I'll tell you that much. My sins. Oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part but the whole, were nailed to that cross. And I bear them no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. You see, that's why Calvary's colossal cross met my need. Because it satisfied God and it silenced Satan, and praise God, it saved sinners. And that's why tonight, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, Lord, because He took all your sin and your sorrow. And He made them His very own, and He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. And when they put Him in yonder tomb and put the stone over it, the devil and all his hosts said to himself, well, that's it then. Oh, but that wasn't it. Because the Spirit of Christ went and led captivity captive, and the Spirit of God quickened that flesh and rose again from the dead. And praise God, He's alive tonight, a living Saviour. And He's here tonight to give you life, and life more abundant. Tell me tonight, will you take this life? You know, there's a wee Italian man. He dug the roads. You know, one of those wee navvies that dig out the roads. His name was Tony. And the fellow went over to him one day and looked down, and there he was covered from head to toe with filth, and he's throwing out the muck. And the boy says, "What are you doing, Tony?" And he says, I'm digging this road here." He says, "I'm digging this road," he says, to get my wages, to buy my food, to give me strength, to dig these roads." Are you getting it? Are you getting it? See your life, look. Your life's like that, look. Every day you're living, though. Circle. Same old things.
Every day. Is that what you were living for? God forbid. You were made to have the life of God in you. Your chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And that's why when God saved you, three things happened. And I'm finished with this. Listen. The first thing is this. You get pardoned for the past.
Oh, what that does for you. Pardon for your past.
You can put your head down the pillow. No matter what happens. Somebody press a button. Or somebody locked the door one night. Or an accident will happen. Or I'll turn on the side and take a pain and I'll go out of this scene of time. Whatever happens. It's well with my soul. Pardon for the past. Second thing is, He doesn't only give you pardon for the past, He gives you peace for the present. Peace for the present. Oh friends, have you got the peace of God that passes all understanding? You know, I learned some years ago that the rest Christ gave me in salvation was meant to stay with me and remain with me. That rest that remains for the people of God. Remember going up the road not long ago and they were rioting on it and the boy came rolling down. He says, "Even they're still rioting." I says, "Well, I'm still resting." Praise God. Are you resting? Have you got the peace for the present? Have you got that peace that fills your mind and heart? That when you see all the trouble around you, and dear, it'll get worse. It'll get worse. They're trying to blame all these football hooligans, and they've got depraved childhoods and all the rest of it. Look, what do I tell you? Sure, your common sense would tell you it's tripe. Don't you know that 30 or 40 years ago, poverty was the main thing for everybody. They all shared poverty. You hadn't what you have now. No, sir. This old world's heading fast for God's wrath, and make no mistake about it, it's coming. It's coming. I'm thinking about preaching on it on Sunday night. It's coming. The wrath's coming. Make no mistake about it. But the peace. Oh, the peace my Saviour gives. He gives you pardon for your past. He gives you peace for your present. Here's the thing that fills me. He gives you purpose for the future. I'm looking forward to tomorrow. Looking forward to the weekend. Looking forward to next week, God willing. Enjoy life in anticipation. Wonder what's going to happen. Wonder who I could speak into. Oh, the thrill there is in serving Christ. It's life with a capital L for the asking. Will you call? Will you come? Will you confess? And you'll be converted. God give you grace.